All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
I was punching out with a 5-iron all day, and I didn't even do that right.
This is the Fan's U.S. Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
It's U.S. Open Week on Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it's 4:07 with me, Rob. Big Suk, he's right over there. He's right across the table.
Right here.
So,
I know for a fact I would shoot 120 out there.
Ooh. Keep going north, buddy. No offense.
Oh, gosh. Honestly, I would go with the pitching wedge just the entire time.
Yeah.
Just
probably a good idea.
Pitching wedge and a putter, and let's go for double, triple bogey every single time.
So we've got Lakers Nuggs tonight.
Yes.
Game one.
The NBA playoffs have been bananas. I completely am enthralled with the East, although...
Do we think Boston's going to come back? Or are they melting down?
It seems like they're melting down, that they're pulling a Clippers here in the fourth quarter. But, I mean, both of those games easily could have gone Boston's way, especially game one. They had multiple opportunities to close that thing out. Horrific possessions at the end of the game. Tatum had the one where he just threw it out of bounds for seemingly unknown reasons. And then they had... the Kemba Walker block and then the awful step back threes when they didn't need them. So this thing probably should be 1-1, easily could be 2-0 Boston. So they're not out of this by any stretch of the imagination. They need to win game three. That's a must win, but yeah, I'm not going to write Boston off.
Well, didn't they get in a big fight or something?
Yeah, I suppose I think it was Smart and Brown, I think, got into some sort of screaming match. So,
cool.
Hey, that team chemistry thing, that's real.
Well, I think Miami's defense may be too tough when push comes to shove.
Yeah.
It looks like it because Boston was up 14 in the fourth game one, they lost. And then they were up 5 with a couple minutes left in game two and they lost.
Yeah. Well, and Boston just hasn't been able to make shots down the stretch either.
They're not getting good ones.
No. So
that's the key.
Miami looks the part right now, right? They just, you kind of see it. And this isn't like a Denver situation. I mean, Denver obviously has pulled it out 3-1 in the last two series, but Miami has just looked the part from day one in the bubble. They have been the best team in the East and they're proving it right now. So I'll take LA Miami. I mean, Denver Miami, sure, but I think at this point, if it's going to be the Heat, it looks like it's going to be the Heat. Give me the Lakers. Give me the Lakers and Heat, and we'll see if that defense can stop LeBron and AD. But right now, if you're the Lakers, it's set up perfectly for you, right?
Oh, they're going to win.
You couldn't have a better path to a ring here for LeBron.
Okay, so this is from the Wall Street Journal. Mm-hmm. Saw this today, and I found it delightful. Do you know who LeBron's best teammate is ever? And he's had many.
I'm assuming that we're going to go with Dwayne Wade.
The best player in the world plays better with this man than anybody he's ever played with. And that man's name is Alex Caruso.
LeBron's numbers are better with Caruso on the floor than anyone else's.
Let's read on, shall we?
Please. Let's go on this journey together.
LeBron James says, quote, "We're one and the same when it comes to winning basketball." End
and
quote.
Bad hair.
That is true.
Traditional statistics don't suggest anything notable about Caruso, who averaged 5.5 points off the bench, but his impact on the game is captured by a metric called net rating, which calculates a team's point differential per 100 possessions. The average net rating for NBA champions over the last two decades was 7.2 points, and the Lakers' net rating of 5.6 points this season climbed to 8 points with James and Anthony Davis on the court. With James and Caruso together, 18.6.
Alex Caruso. and LeBron James.
That's number one in the NBA.
Unstoppable.
It's the power of the receding hairline that they're fighting for some reason.
Yeah.
And the giant headband.
Why Caruso hasn't cerebral. Just shaved that thing is beyond me. We got into a, well, I guess I didn't say we. The Twitter analytic world got into a spat a week ago about whether Aaron Donald was really a good run defender. And they said that that set analytics back, at least a couple years on that one.
Why?
Because people, like a lot of the analytic guys, were trying to make the argument that Aaron Donald is
not
an average at best run defender, which is just absurd. I feel like this Caruso thing may also set back advanced statistics and analytics. This may set it back even further than the Aaron Donald argument.
That's a pretty hefty number, 18.6. Let's read on. But this wasn't merely the league's best combination. The extraordinary thing about their improbable partnership is that James had a higher net rating with Caruso than anyone in his career.
Is it possible that when LeBron James sees Alex Caruso and is like, oh my God, he just has to raise his game to another level because he knows that Alex Caruso is on the floor?
Good question. The Wall Street Journal's analysis included hundreds of players who shared the floor with James for significant time in a season since the NBA began tracking lineup data. Caruso was on the court with James for 560 minutes, fewer than James played with other teammates, but not enough that the effects were not a statistical fluke. The numbers were hard for Lakers coach Frank Vogel to ignore. Here is how their net rating with Caruso and James compared with his most dominant seasons with other teammates. Alex Caruso, 2020, plus 18.6. Dwayne Wade, 2013, plus 14.4. Chris Bosh, 2013, plus 12.8. Kevin Love, 2016, plus 11.7. And Kyrie Irving, 2015, plus 11.6. Caruso was surprised by this. He was also curious. He wanted to know who else was high on the list. As it turned out, James' championship teams were at their best when he shared the floor with Shane Battier, Mario Chalmers, and Matthew Dellavedova.
I am convinced that my theory is correct.
Ooh, Dellavedova was good.
He was good.
No.
Don't you remember that run? Dellavedova became a cult legend.
Suk, you're not remembering correctly. Matthew Dellavedova was huge. Excellent. He was huge for them. And that is, to your point, that is because LeBron makes guys like that better, but he fits him perfectly.
I am convinced.
I don't remember Shane Battier.
That when LeBron James sees four white guys and an Egyptian on the floor, that he has no choice than to get up off the bench and go superhuman. That's just.
I tried everything. We played four white guys and an Egyptian.
It has to be.
We tried everything.
There's just no other explanation that those. Shane Battier at least is a real player. You're telling me
that Matthew Dellavedova is not?
Yes, that is exactly what I'm telling you.
Shame on you.
You're
That's
wrong.
Like saying that Hezonja
Tell
and
that
Lillard,
to Matthew Dellavedova's parents, you jerk.
Hezonja, and his ring.
Hezonja and Lillard, the best combination the Blazers have.
So Battier, Chalmers, and Dellavedova.
Maybe it was, you don't know.
Similarly, I don't know. Unsung players who became valuable by embracing their roles. That's pretty good company, Caruso said. So if you look all time, Caruso is the best in terms of net rating with LeBron. Number two is actually Timothy Mozgov. He was number two.
All right.
Dellavedova, three. Chalmers, four. Schumpert, five. Battier, six.
Yeah. And don't call Chalmers like a... Chalmers was a real player, too.
He's a stud. Rock Chuck. Well, anyway,
shot.
That's from the Wall Street Journal.
That's the biggest shot in Kansas history, Rupp.
Whoa.
That's a bold statement.
I mean, they only have a couple of championships, so yeah. I'd say that's...
Do they just have the two? They have Danny and the Miracles? And
no,
then?
They have one in the 50s.
Okay. Two modern-day ones,
They
though.
Have three.
Okay.
I want to say.
They don't win it without that, so yeah, let's... Right biggest shot that? In Kansas history.
All right, well...
Or was it the shot that Hakeem Warrick blocked?
Mike...
it was all a long setup.
Well, it was. You know what, Mike? And well played. It took you a while to come on back. You wandered out in right field, but boy, that was a nice payoff. I sure. Rob didn't appreciate it, but I did.
I think Rob deep down appreciated
deep
it.
Deep down.
Yeah, 1952. So they have three titles. How many does Syracuse have?
One.
Oh.
I had that Ronnie Cycli year ago, although you were probably like one.
Ronnie Cycli.
You don't remember that?
Yeah, no, I remember that.
Yeah.
But it just was a good poll. Yes. I'm like, whoa.
Syracuse legend, Ronnie Cycli.
I don't
Syracuse
know why.
Syracuse legend.
It was Derek Coleman, and that's remember that team losing in the finals.
All right. Well, anyway, Alex Caruso is greatness.
We're not going to talk about BYU's NIT titles that they have, no?
How many do they have?
I don't know. I don't even know if they have an NIT title. They're just, you know.
You don't even know.
They just go to the NIT a lot.
They have a football title, right?
They do. 1984, baby.
Is it a real football title?
Sort of.
We've talked about this. I think the best team they beat all year was ranked like 19th in the country.
BYU, two NIT tournament championships.
Boom! Suck it!
How about that?
Wow. National invitation!
1951 and 1966. A little bit of a drought, but...
Wow. They go to the NIT a lot and have been since the 50s.
Yeah, look. What do you want from us, all right? We don't just do the four white guys and Egyptian at the cleanup time. We do four white guys and Egyptian as a starting lineup. They'll throw a whiteout at you. They got Danny Ainge. When your two best players of all time, I think, are Danny Ainge and Sean Bradley, that should tell you all you need to know.
Well, one of those players was in Space Jam, so they must be pretty good.
Boy, that may be the biggest upset of all time, that Sean Bradley, like, they made a movie about with Michael Jordan and the great players in the NBA, and somehow Sean Bradley made it in?
Sean Bradley, I remember when they got him. What a big deal that was.
Yeah.
Huge deal. What's he, 7'7 or something?
I think he's 7'6.
Is that all?
Yeah.
Sean Bradley had one of the greatest moments when he lost his basketball abilities in that whole montage where he just cannot even walk down the court. Well, he's just like trying to move his legs and he can't.
He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated when he was drafted by the 76ers. That was like they were like trying to show what he was eating to try to gain weight. Mm. He was on like some ridiculous like 11,000 calorie Michael Phelps diet, and yet he couldn't gain weight and he weighed 7 pounds. But
did he do anything in the NBA?
I'm sure he blocked some shots. I'm guessing.
I don't remember him in the NBA.
I'm guessing the highlight of his career was Space Jam. Right?
Sean
Bradley.
He is now 48 years old.
On Basketball Reference. Let's see.
Second overall pick.
His best season was 96-97, so the year that Space Jam came out.
See, he was riding that wave.
He was better than I thought.
He was on the Nets and the Mavericks that year. He had 13 points a game.
Okay.
And he had 8 rebounds a game.
Hey, you
know
what?
And 3.4 blocks, which led the league.
That's great.
That's better than I thought.
I don't remember him in the NBA at all.
No, he played a long time, though.
He had 9 years in the league.
9 years and was an 8-point.
Well, you should if you're 7'6".
How did he only grab 6 rebounds a game and you're 7'6"?
Because he was made of skin and bones.
That's true.
Can't move.
How did they not manage to put some weight on him? You would just think, genetics aside, a man. Eat some peanut butter sandwiches.
He's no Mark Eaton.
No, he is no Mark Eaton. The great part about Mark Eaton is like he wasn't even like he was working at a gas station. Like Mark Eaton just they just found him on the street. And like he was playing in some semi-pro league or whatever, and they were like, hey, hey, you think you can block some shots? Yes, you can. Are you white in Utah? Yes, I am. Let's do this, Mark Eaton.
All right, we've got in the news coming up, but next, another college football game is off.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, coming up next on In the News, how much rain we got, air quality check, COVID update, and we dubbed the Cub. But that will be next. What?
Just enjoyed that.
Do you know what that means?
No, I don't.
Dubbed the Cub?
Dubbed the Cub. I just kind of enjoyed.
We're going to do it.
This is like yesterday when we were talking about Tuds.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys, there's blue sky behind you.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. That's like a legit, nice, sunny
day. We actually can see the sky again, guys.
A double rainbow.
Wow.
Dude, that's unbelievable.
Rest in peace.
We haven't seen that in...
Well, a week and a half?
Yeah, like 10 days.
Since Labor Day, basically. Well, I guess Tuesday was sunny.
Hey, and there's that guy.
Hey, what's your name? Yeah, that is weird, Mike. It wasn't there like 10 minutes ago, but we looked up and now there's just this.
Now all of a sudden my mood was way better. Mm. Hi, Sky.
It's because we cubbed the, what were you saying?
We're dubbing the Cub.
Dubbing
the Cub, bruh.
With some Tuds, let's do this.
Get some Tud.
Yeah.
Boy, that's uncomfortable.
Yeah,
Sean Bradley may have two families. I've Google imaged him and he's got a daughter that plays volleyball at Washington State.
Yeah, she's 6'4 and is a junior. We've also discovered
her name is Charity.
Charity.
But have you seen that he's got, maybe he's just posing with another person's family in this other photo, but there's two different families.
Well, look, there's a joke to be made there, but I'm not going to be the one to make it.
what is it with Mormons and kids? My God, yeah, he's got 8 kids.
There's a lot of kids. And we've also discovered that he loves wearing denim cargo shorts. And they're so long that there's actually 2 cargo pockets on each side. Now, I ask you the question, does he really love those denim cargo shorts? Or when you're 7'6", you just wear whatever fits you.
Yeah, I think that's
what it is.
Yeah. I don't think he can be picky.
Somewhere along the line, like someone was like, hey, we got these denim cargo shorts that you can wear. He's like, what? They fit me? All right, let's do it. Well, every photo of him looks awkward.
Well, he's 7'6".
Yeah.
Like, that can't be fun.
I can't imagine. Although, you know, it's brought him a pretty good life.
Let's guess Sean Bradley's career earnings.
When was his last year in the league?
One sec, please.
Because he probably played before. He's like, what, 48? So he played before the big money.
You're saying Sean Bradley?
Yeah.
His last was, I think, 2003.
So he played before the big money. I'm going to go career earnings. He was the number 2 overall pick. Let's go 18 mil.
Hmm. Hiya.
Really?
$69.58 million for Sean Bradley.
All right.
And charity gets a little of that coin.
It is good. And so does his 7 other kids. Boy, he's keeping everyone laced in cargo shorts.
That's a lot of money. That's more than I would have thought.
Well, here's my thing, though.
It was longevity. I mean, he never made over $10
million. He made $69 million. He can't get someone to make him some shorts that aren't made of denim cargo pants?
It's not important to him.
No. Look at how, if you just Google image Sean Bradley, literally every other photo is him wearing those exact same shorts.
Seems like a happy guy.
Well, but I do know some people that know him that say he's a great human being.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
Yeah, he's just super nice.
He just seems it.
Yeah, he was a missionary and he's still he's active in Boy Scouts and he's a good dude. And apparently he's $69 million.
Active in Boy Scouts, is that a good thing?
Well, it depends how active. You don't want to be that active. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
I think there's a commercial running right now on this station asking for people to come forward.
So how many of his kids will be dentists?
Well, he got 8. I'm going to assume that at least...
He has 8 kids?
He's got 8 kids.
I only counted 6.
I'm assuming that a third of them will be dentists.
At least a third.
At least a third. I honestly think
charity will marry a dentist.
Yes. If you are a really devout Mormon, you have at least 6 kids and 2 to 3 of them become dentists. It's just the way it operates. I think it comes with the manual. Like you go on a mission, you come back, you get a wife, 2 kids and you get a dental degree.
Hey, so we won't have Baylor Houston this weekend.
No.
Darn.
Although
it.
Not necessarily because of COVID tests.
No.
Just contact tracing.
Yeah. That's what I wanted to bring up here, why they're not playing this game. And I think they've both had their COVID troubles, right, with players?
Sure.
But it's not that.
No.
It's that one of Baylor's units is depleted to the point where they don't meet the threshold to play.
Yeah, Baylor put out a thing, or the Baylor. The Big 12 put out a thing saying that these are the guidelines where you have to meet these. Although my favorite part of it was, like, you have to have 53 active players. If you fall below that, you're not supposed to play unless the coach decides that it's fine and he can just ignore those and keep playing. But they did set out a default line for quarterbacks, offense, and defensive linemen, and I think that was it. I think those were the only position groups.
So do we know what position group this is?
I haven't seen. They just said one position group was depleted. So, it's one of those three because I think those were the only three that were stipulated. So O-line, D-line, or quarterbacks, if you don't have any. And this is all because of they're having a quarantine, which is interesting because supposedly the Big Ten and the Pac-12 have these rapid tests, although that's not available until September 30th, because you would think that with that, supposedly the benefit of that is you don't need to do contact tracing. You can get instant results 24 hours, sooner than 24 hours, and then this wouldn't be an issue. But there's a game canceled, and it's not going to be made up. They said they were looking at the schedule and there's just no dates that you can make this up. There's not enough time. So this game just...
it's gone.
It's gone.
Here's a fun fact. Are you ready for this? Fun fact? College football fact?
Yes.
For you, Jace? Baylor will now begin preparing for its 4th season opening opponent. I'm not kidding.
4.
They were supposed to open against Ole Miss.
Okay.
Gone, yeah. Obviously.
Sure.
Then they were going to play, I think, like Lafayette or something. Mm-hmm. Game canceled.
Sure.
Houston, game canceled.
Now we're on to this one.
Now Kansas.
Oh, this
on
is
September 26th.
Okay. I did read an article today. I forget who it was, but they were talking about this, that the game was scheduled like 6 days in advance and they hadn't played. And so I just was kind of flipping through, but it was basically the article was about the challenges of trying to get ready to play in 6 days against an opponent that you don't know who they are and you have no film on them. So it was just kind of like anyone's guess. They're like, I don't know. Let's just get ready to go here. It's still not anything worse than the fact that Navy played BYU, lost 55-3. And after the game, the Navy coach came out and said that they hadn't tackled in 11 months.
I like the idea of surprise opponents, though. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. Because then kinda you like, really find out who the best in-game coaches are.
That is true. It's like the old, the WWE Royal Rumble, right? Where like the clock just hit zero and then some random, like, that's Stone Cold Steve Austin's music. And then you got to get it ready to go.
Yeah.
I mean, the Navy played so poorly that Temple punted on their season opener because Temple hadn't been able to have any real padded practices. And they saw what Navy did, and Temple just said, we need to postpone our opener because it's going to look like that. That's how bad Navy was in that football game.
Isn't Navy pissed that Air Force only has to play two games?
It was Navy or Army. One of them was really mad because they're only going to play, the President's Trophy, I think is what they call it. Whoever wins amongst the Armed Forces school. But Air Force is only playing two games.
They're only playing Army and Navy.
Army and Navy.
So if they win both of those,
yeah,
they win.
They win the trophy. And I think it might have, I think it was Navy's coach, and he was pissed.
I love that Air Force is only playing two games.
Yeah. Well, the Mountain West isn't playing.
Right. But, okay. I guess two games is better than none.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a big deal with the Military Service Academy. So Army and Navy are playing. So Air Force is like, well, I guess we can play.
God, what a mess.
Oh, already 20% of all games, and this doesn't count, by the way, the ones that were canceled with the initial wave of people going conference only. Once the schedules have been reset, 20% of all games that are supposed to have been played here in the first 3 weeks have already been canceled. And a lot of places don't even have kids back on campus yet. So
Right. Look,
this idea that this is going to go smoothly, this will be rocky, and just hopefully, like Major League Baseball, they find a way to navigate through it.
All right, up next, all the latest, all the things locally. Here's Mike with SportsCenter.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, it's 4:38, Friday, Football Friday. We're having a good time out here. Party and talking sports. Mike's watching his Spankies. We've got NBA coming up.
They hit what, 5 home runs and 6 at bats?
Yeah.
Against the Blue Jays yesterday.
Did you hear that guy was tipping his pitches? Did you read that, Mike?
I did not read that.
I would assume that there was something with 5 and 6 at bats.
I think I saw a lot of people saying, oh, Yankees are cheating. And then the Phillies scored 7 off the Blue Jays today. So. It's like, are the Phillies cheating too?
There was also one of the Yankee like Twitter accounts or something. I forget who in the middle of that didn't hit a home run.
Aaron Hicks struck out.
Aaron Hicks. They did the Happy Gilmore. You blew it!
What a loser.
I know, jackass.
What's the record for most home runs in a row?
Ooh.
God, I don't know. Maybe 4?
I think four or five, maybe.
Oh, okay.
I know the Red Sox hit 4 in a row off the Yankees once.
I could work a Google for you on that one.
Get on it.
We've had 4 home runs in one game by a guy before. I don't think anyone's ever had 5.
Yeah, but that's not what we're talking about here.
No, I'll look that up for
Mark Witten, I think, had 4 in a game.
There's a bunch of guys that have done that. Most of them are not big name guys.
All right, September 18, 2020. It is time for In the News. I'm your noted newsman. Today is National Cheeseburger Day. Guys, yeah, National Cheeseburger Day.
Who doesn't love?
Got to have an applause for that.
Oh, hey, a quality burger, but Rogale's in the Pearl is shutting down.
I saw that.
Another restaurant by the wayside.
Mm. You may like this too, Jace. It is National Concussion Awareness Day.
Oh, there you go.
So be aware of concussions.
And don't do anything about it, but be aware.
Yes.
Oh, look. I'm just glad that it's a thing now. Because when I was growing up and playing football, even up into the NFL, no one gave an F about concussions. I was knocked cold in 2 games and finished both games.
Sissy.
Yeah. It's just, it was smelling salts. You could get knocked unconscious and you would get put back in games. So at least now, look, at least now we take it seriously, where we realize that having your brain, beat up is not a good thing or something to shrug off.
A little late breaking national news. Rest in peace, Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Really?
She has passed.
Yeah, boy.
She was a badass.
Now get ready for both sides to yell and
but
scream.
But she was a badass.
She was awesome, and hopefully she gets a proper send-off, and we can wait like 72 hours before everyone starts yelling and screaming about, you know, who's going to get to pick the next one.
295 new confirmed and presumptive cases of COVID in our state today. That's a lot. But no new deaths.
That's good.
So that is good. Oregon Health Authority put out a study that said, based on data through September 10th, the model is consistent with transmission increases throughout May, followed by a transmission decrease from late June through mid-July. Since mid-July, the effective reproduction number, which is the expected number of secondary cases that a single case generates, is estimated to be below one.
All right.
So that's good.
That's good.
The number of COVID cases has been generally declining for the past 2 months and severe cases for about 1 month.
Thumbs up. I did read, too, I think it was the CDC that said, you're more than likely not going to get it off of surfaces. So doorknobs, things like that, just common spaces, that's really not how you're most likely to get it. The virus is pretty weak when it's out, and that it's mostly just droplets.
It's a wuss virus.
It's a wuss virus. So that was good. I mean, I know.
So wear your mask.
Yeah, wear your mask. And again, social distance, just like they've been telling us to do for months and months and months. And avoid large gathering indoors. And that will be, you know, that's all best practices at this point.
And drink bleach.
Although I did see that next week, the largest indoor gathering since this whole COVID start will be occurring. And it's going to be a Stephen F. Austin football game.
Really? How many? Yeah.
I didn't see the number.
Well, indoor. So.
Indoor.
Okay.
So, like, the Chiefs game is, you know, that was outdoors. But this will be the largest indoor gathering since this happened, and it's going to be for a Stephen F. Austin football game. And most consecutive home runs hit in a game, 4.
Really?
It's happened 8 different times.
Nobody's ever hit that 5th.
No one's ever hit the 5th.
Air quality right now, down here on the banks of the poop-filled Willamette River, 110.
Hey.
Unhealthy for sensitive groups, but close to normal.
Someone tweeted that in Eugene in Springfield, it was actually like 60, that it's good. That the air quality down there, they're giving a thumbs up. So
open your windows, baby.
Yeah, we're through the worst of it.
How much rain did we get last night? Did you hear the storms roll through, JC Babes? Did you hear that?
There was a lot of lightning.
While you were sleeping.
4:30 in the morning, we had the rolling thunder. I thought like the trash cans had been blown over.
I thought I was going to get, I thought for sure that lightning was going to strike trees and come barreling down on our house.
Again?
Well, the first one was wind. But yes, 20, yes, again.
2020.
We had an inch of rain in Troutdale and a half inch of rain in Hillsborough. So that's pretty significant.
Okay. I don't really know. I don't know what is a lot of rain.
Well, that right there.
Well, you should know. You live in the Northwest.
I know, but if you told me, like, if you said it rained 4 inches, I'd be like, well, that's a lot of rain, but...
An inch?
An inch, is that...
In one storm? That's a lot of rain. That's a lot of rain? Well, I mean, we've had worse.
See, you don't know either.
No, I do know. We've had worse, but it's not... I mean, that's... It's significant measurable rainfall.
Oh, man.
For one storm.
You're waffling so much on this rain thing.
Well, Suk, remember yesterday there was the flash flood warning?
Yes.
And we had an inch...
It rained a lot.
That's a lot of rain. If that's causing a flash flood warning, it's a lot of rain.
Did it flash flood?
I don't know.
I'm just saying
if that was the forecast that was causing flash flood warnings, that's a lot of rain.
I'm not certain that an inch is a lot of
rain. It was wild out there.
Where's our meteorologist bros?
Show me the bodies.
Show me the rain. Show me the inch of rain.
I'll text my neighbor. What do you want me to ask him?
Is an inch
a lot of rain?
A lot of rain.
Well, again, he's gonna say, well, in how much time?
In one storm
last
is
night.
An inch right. Lot of rain. Right. Would he consider that?
I'll text my sources.
And tell him to stop sending out photos of your house. That way people won't know where you live. Even though we all
All right.
Already know.
Coming up next, let's dub the Cub on the Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, weather bros are in.
Dave Bartu also chiming in with what an inch of water means.
Is an inch of rain, is an inch a lot of rain for one storm? I text my weatherman neighbor.
Yeah.
He said, I'd call that a good soaking rain for 24 hours. If it came in a couple of hours, it's a lot.
All right.
So there you go.
We have in the official answer. Dave said, here is your nerd alert. A gallon of water is 231 cubic inches. Sea roof of your house is roughly 3,000 square feet. You cover with an inch of water. That is almost 1,900 gallons of water. There's Dave trying to break down.
Why would he put it that way?
I don't know.
My brain now hurts.
Dave is.
Thank you to Rob's neighbor for calling it a good soaking.
Yes,
because I understand what that means.
Dave tried to get. He tried to drop a good math on us.
1 inch is significant.
That's right.
That's what she said.
Rob's been saying that for years.
Where were we?
Well, we just got done talking about the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and yeah, it's very sad.
We need to dub the Cub.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, but let's do it.
Well, your friend May May, the red panda, out at the Oregon Zoo,
allegedly
had a baby.
I'm still waiting to see it. That's my big conspiracy theory, that there is no red panda out there and they've been lying to us this entire time.
So the zoo revealed in August, now that she had the baby in June, and they said in August that the cub is a boy. So you know it's a boy.
It's the cutest damn thing ever if it's real.
Now they want you to help name it.
Can I play with it? Because I don't really care about naming it. I just would like some one-on-one time with it. Because it's literally the cutest thing in the world. And why red pandas? You know what? I'm over dogs. We need to move past dogs. We need to move on to trash raccoons and red pandas. This is where the future of the pets need to be.
I believe you mean trash pandas and red pandas. Trash raccoons?
Trash pandas, trash raccoons.
That's just
raccoons.
Mean to raccoons.
I love raccoons, but I'm sorry, they can't hold a candle to the red panda.
The zoo has announced the baby will get its name via a raffle.
Can it be Panda McPanda Face?
This is a terrible idea.
Yes. Do not allow people to have a say in this. It's going to be terrible.
But they are. The zoo has been struggling financially due to the pandemic that's been going on, you may have heard of.
Well, people aren't going out to the zoo.
I see what you did there, pandemic.
It was closed for nearly 4 months.
So we're going to get Panda McPanda Face, though.
Yeah, I hope so.
Visitors were welcome back in July under new health and safety requirements, but the zoo is still facing hardships. So the zookeepers are having a naming honors. They're handing naming honors over to the Oregon Zoo Foundation, which is offering the public a chance to help dub the Cub. So if you're interested, you can buy a ticket. You have to be 18 or older, and only 1,000 tickets will be sold, and you will have the chance to win the opportunity to help name the Cub.
Okay, can we just cut through a lot of the red panda tape here? They need money, and they would like you to please just donate. Because you're going to have a role in this? No, you won't. My guess is that you are going to throw out a name that will not be chosen, and then they'll let you know before anyone else. So how much are the tickets?
That's a good question. Let's click on the link.
Whatever it is, just if you can and you love the zoo and you love the red panda,
$10.
Yeah, donate your $10, and you're not going to have any say in this, but they really need your money.
Only 282 left.
See, just come out and ask for my $10. If the zoo called me nicely and just was like, hey, do you enjoy the zoo? I'd say, yeah. Do you love red pandas? Absolutely. My favorite animal on the planet. Can we have $10? My answer would be yes. This, I don't.
Mine too.
I don't want to give him $10 on this, but if he just came out and asked me for it, you got my $10.
The winner will be announced Friday, September 25th, during the foundation's free online fundraiser, Zoo Rendezvous, and they will get to meet with May May's care staff and help them decide on a name for the baby.
See, I don't want...
See, they're good to hedge.
Exactly.
They're not going to let you name it.
No.
They're just going to let you help.
And I don't want to meet with the zookeepers. I want to meet with the panda. How do I make that happen? Because at that point, I could die a happy man.
Well, no one's really sure if May May even exists.
Exactly. This is my whole thing.
But
how hard is it to just conjure up some photos of a red panda somewhere else? Or, like, they do those holograms now with, like, Tupac. I've seen Tupac on stage rapping, and he's been dead for years. You're telling me you can't conjure up a red panda? Not buying it.
And finally, Gary, your phone could determine if you've been exposed to coronavirus.
Ooh.
A COVID-19 exposures notification can hit your phone now thanks to the Oregon Health Authority. They are embracing contact tracing technology from Apple and Google, and Oregonians can use their cell phones to find out if they've been exposed.
Oh boy. This is going to be cue tinfoil hat guy right now, that this is how they're going to control you, and they just...
Right.
This isn't going to go well. Joe Rogan will be talking about this on his next podcast.
Oregon will launch a pilot project this fall with a goal of about 30,000 participants, likely involving college students who are tech-savvy and in close contact with others. If state officials determine the technology is effective, they could make it widely available for Oregonians as soon as December or early next year. They are cautiously optimistic about the project and say if several hundred thousand Oregonians use it, the technology could help slow the spread of virus in a meaningful way.
I'm going to go ahead and make the prediction that this is pointless and is not going to get several hundred thousand people to sign up for it. And this is a nothing burger.
Well, like you said, the big concern here is privacy.
Yep.
A lot of people won't do it.
Nope.
Yeah. There is an unrelated symptom monitoring project touted as a game changer by Shutdown Brown that got shelved last month for failing to ensure enough participants among people of color.
People won't take a vaccine, people won't wear masks, and yet we're going to expect people to sign up and then be monitored about where you go with your phone. Can I also just say that I get the whole privacy thing and people get all up in arms over that, but do we not realize that we just give away our location pretty much every day? They can ping right. your cell phone anyways, and you post on Facebook and Instagram where you're going.
It's too late.
And there's cameras everywhere. Like, if you commit a crime, we know if you were in the area or not. Like, every bank, everywhere you go, there's a camera on it.
This is another opportunity for me to plug the Netflix documentary Social Dilemma.
Yeah.
Watch it.
Say they talk about this?
Yes. Yeah. They're all over you. They know more about you than you know about yourself.
Exactly. So this idea that you're living in privacy anyway, so...
Now, I would say that if college kids... Like, if you put this out on college campuses and the kids... You know, they're probably more prone to throw an app on their phone, right?
Sure.
If they all did it, you know, that actually could be a good thing for college campuses, I would think. Because it's, you know, it's not that big of a population and the kids are more willing to do it. If they all did it... That would help them a lot, actually.
One would think,
but in general pop, in gen pop?
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Nope. Oh, and by the way, speaking of...
And it's completely anonymous, too.
I made the Joe Rogan reference. He apologized on his podcast. He apologized for the Oregon wildfire misinformation.
What did he say?
He said he was really sorry. He said
What did he say?
He said that he got duped.
By what?
He said Antifa was starting the wildfires.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
He believed that.
Yeah, he did. He apologized. He said he was, he signed a big deal, $100 million with Spotify, and some people are saying that he's only doing this because Spotify is pissed at him, but he put a post today, and he said he goes, I'm really sorry. He goes, I got duped. He goes, I didn't put enough research into it. He goes, I take this seriously. He goes, I feel sick about it. He goes, it's completely false, and...
It was very out of character for him.
At least he owned up for it.
I mean, He seems to be a fairly sharp guy. I mean, I know he's got some... Well, I don't know. I don't know what he believes, but I don't know.
I just thought
critical
it was
thinker.
He apologized to the good people of Oregon today, so I thought that would be relevant.
By the way, somebody texts in, can't we just do a Ruth Bader Ginsburg Weekend at Bernie sort of thing until after the election?
Oh, believe me. When I said I was hoping 72 hours before this started, no, man. Go on Twitter right now and...
Oh, I'm not going on
it's,
there.
It's all... There's a lot of that already about what's happening now. But she really was a...
Watch RGB, the documentary.
It's amazing.
It's very good.
She was an absolute titan of a woman. And that is a hell of a life. What, 87, I think?
She was 87. I actually thought she was older than that.
And I'll tell you what. That's a hell of a run of 87 years. She made her mark. She didn't get cheated.
All right, that is in the news, September 18, 2020. We've got the Hot 5 at 5 coming up next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.